We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy. No, not Andrew Claudio, but Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. We're Jeremy Cohen, I can't call him my fill-in because it's like, this is like, I don't know, some B-level actor drops out of a role and then like Tom Cruise steps in. Jeremy, are you okay? You had the spotlight for 2 weeks, and I'm sure you realize over that time, like, wow, I'm a lot better at this than John is.
I'm having withdrawal, honestly. A lot of withdrawal. Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you got that blood pumping, you're moving, you're grooving, you're talking with these guests, and it's like, oh, I get to talk with,
just me.
Just John. Just John and Andrew. But no, I had a great time, but I'm really glad to have you back. And I honestly mean that. It's tough. It's fun, but it's like, you know, there's prep that goes in these interviews and yeah. you gotta talk with the people and it takes time away from other things. So I'm just here. I'm with the cat, as you can see. We're having a great time. So welcome back. Return of the Mac. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but that's what we do all the time.
It works. And Andrew, I'm pulling you in early here. I have a bone to pick with you.
What did I do?
The way you would introduce, that's why I reference it. The way you would introduce the pod episodes over the last few weeks, it implies that you are not the listener's boy, whereas you're every bit as much their boy as I am.
Fair point. I apologize, listeners. We're all boys.
We are girls. All boys.
Yes. Hold up. We them boys. There you go. That is,
I know the song.
Actually. Okay, you do know that song. Good. There you go.
I know the song. So it does feel so good to be back. It's been very, very strange the last 2 weeks, especially when I think there have been a lot. I could talk about the last 2-3 weeks for a long time. I will try to condense it. But like when a new pod episode pops up on my feed, a new KFS pod. And I'm like, I wasn't there for this. This is strange. A new podcast is popping up. And then I would listen and I'd be like, oh my God. And I would get the sensation of like what it was like to be just a listener of the show. And I got to say, guys, put on a pretty good show. I don't know. The quality obviously will go down now that I'm back. But Jeremy, If I could just, before I talk about myself, I just want to say, man, in all seriousness, and Andrew, but you produce all of these episodes, so you always get the kudos, but, Jeremy, you killed it, man. In all seriousness, I enjoyed the hell out of every single one of the spots that you did. I loved the episode from you guys last weekend. I just like up and down the line, like Julito, John, I'm forgetting someone from who am I forgetting from? I think it was the day of the move that the one I'm forgetting dropped from Keith, 2 weeks ago.
Keith Smith.
Keith. Oh my God, I love Keith. Predicted, by the way, we don't have to get into it. Maybe we'll get into it later.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. But. And then Marin, man, and you kept saying it, like you referenced how many press things that she was doing. And yet you got her to be just like so chill and relaxed. And I was just like, man, Jeremy, it's my boy. You're my boy. You're my boy.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a sort of thing where I wanted to, especially with Miran, you know, when she's doing all these interviews, I want to ask her questions that she's not going to get. So it's
and you
like
did.
This repeat. And it fortunately worked out that way. But you know, but glad to be back. Glad for us to, the three amigos, for us to be doing our thing, even though nothing Knicks related really happened this week. We can still find things to talk about but we still have to talk about your move. We've not.
Well, yeah. So we're obviously continuing the trivia game that you guys started last week, which I'm very excited about. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Ben Simmons stuff, because that's been the, it's kind of the news that's dominating the NBA landscape. So we'll get into that. But yeah, so I have moved. I think that's the first time I've actually said that on the pod. Cause I've been here. The green room, I don't even think I referenced it when we dropped that a week ago. If you can't see it, but I am looking out right now into my new living room, which is, overlooking, Clinton Street in, Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. And there are a combination of boxes. I think I've now moved to the stage where I'm just unpacking boxes, even if I have no place to put the things that are coming out of the boxes. And I'm just like taking the things out of the boxes and like putting them on empty spots on the floor. But I did make a much needed trip to the Container Store earlier, because this is what happens apparently when you move into a New York City apartment. Your under bed storage becomes like vital. So we're just going to stick a bunch of shit under the bed and hope that solves some of the problems of like the piles of stuff that is in the apartment. I don't know if you guys store anything. Do you guys store anything under your beds?
Yeah. We live in, you know, the five boroughs. We're accustomed to it. Welcome to the club. Thank you.
Yes. I appreciate that. But this has been, it's been the busiest 2 weeks of my life, without question. And I, for as much as there was a part of me that definitely missed being on the show, I can honestly say that I did not have another, I don't know, whatever, added up 5 hours to spare in the last 2 weeks. I am so utterly exhausted, and I have been looking forward to this podcast. This has been getting me through the last week and a half since I actually moved, because it's just like, pro tip to anyone out there, Jeremy, Andrew, don't move with kids. Just don't do it. Just, you know, or if you do it, pay, like get rich and then pay someone to pack up all your shit and then unpack all of your shit and then put it away where it needs to go after you move. That is my pro tip for moving with two children. So
what about getting your children to do the packing for you? You save on labor costs. You don't have to worry about your kids while you're packing, because they're packing.
This is very true. So like just some nice child labor. I mean, the 6 month old is probably not as well equipped as the soon to be 5 year old for that. But
all I'm hearing is that she's a project and there's room to grow, and she can get the job done.
She's like Jericho Sims.
Yeah.
We signed her to a 2-way. But yeah, man, I'm exhausted, and it's been intense, but if anybody is more curious about like, you know, why I did this or anything like that, there's a newsletter from last Monday, I think, that kind of lays it all out. So feel free to check that out.
It's a great one. Highly recommend it. Very sentimental. Beautifully done. Beautifully written.
I don't know. Is there anything else I should? I hate talking about myself. So this is obviously very uncomfortable for me. But is there anything else that like I haven't covered that's like I should cover? in terms of like my own. No,
I mean, you're in your nice little nook, right?
Oh yeah. So let me explain where I am. So I don't know if I was, should say this because I tried to make the pennant cover it. There's a door behind me because there's a second doorway from the apartment that I moved in, because I think at one point in time, this apartment used to be two apartments. So it is a door coming out of like my new living room. And like, there's a whole like wall unit to my left with like the TV and like what's going to be a bunch of books. And like, there's the sofa and the whole thing. And I have like put myself into this little, almost literal hole in the wall. And that is my new podcast studio going forward. So it's a great place, but it's my nook. Nobody could take this nook from me, as opposed to the laundry room, which like other people could use. Like, this is now this is my nook.
I'd like to see Dolores try to do laundry right now.
You know what? Good luck to her.
Can't do it.
She can't do it. Yeah. So yeah, that's where I am. I'm in a nook in my living room, but it works. It works for me. I'm gonna get some more stuff up on the wall. So for right now though, Julius and RJ will keep us company. And what did I? So did I miss anything? I feel like let's start with this before we even get to the Simmons stuff. What is the single biggest piece of Knicks news from the last 2 weeks? It's the Randall extension was in the last 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
That's really it, right?
Pretty much. A lot of it's just Twitter being bored. And honestly, I haven't been on Twitter that often. Like, so much like you, again, I've been very busy with my own
job,
and doing things. And I don't want to be like, you know, around and there's nothing going on. So it's great. But every now and then I'll open it up and I'll see some takes and I'll just close the app and be like, nope, this is good. I'm going to go back to the job that's paying me and not just look at these free, terrible takes going on.
So I'm limited for minutes. The way that I make sure that I have covered all the bases for the newsletter in the morning is I take, like you just said, I take about 5 minutes, if that, to scroll Twitter. And by the end of every time I do that every day, I'm convinced that people are just looking for excuses to be angry about something. It doesn't even matter what it is. They're just like, I need to be angry about something. And there is somebody that concocts these things in a hole in some wall somewhere. Not my hole in the wall, a different hole in the wall. But it's just like, it's September. We just had a very successful season. The Knicks had a wonderful offseason. Everything's sunshine and rainbows. It's like, can we just get to camp and like preseason and like what, like, I guess because there's, you need to fill the void, right? Is that what the reason?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, people love basketball, but it's the sort of thing where it's like, how can we go without time talking about basketball? And I mean, mind you, it's kind of funny because here we are on a podcast and we're going to try to talk about basketball when there's no basketball.
Yes. This is true.
So it's a little, you know, it's funny that way, but in the sense of like things that just kind of create controversy because controversy creates dialogue in any way. And it's just like, you know, I think at a certain point it does everyone some good to kind of just take, you know, a cleanse for however long. It's cool. Come back. I mean, like you're saying, it's going to be training camp before we know it, right?
Three weeks from pod's dropping on Monday. It's media day is supposed to be on that Tuesday, right? So 3 weeks away.
They'll fly by, 100%.
We're almost there.
And, you know, then we'll have more fun takes as well. And it won't mean anything, but it'll pass the time and then the regular season will start. And then it's money time.
So. We are a month away, I think, when this pod, because this pod drops on, completely lost track of time. This pod is dropping on the 6th. Their first preseason game, I believe, is on the 5th, right? Of October?
Something like that.
Something 4th, 5th, whatever it is. So yeah, we're 3 weeks away from like real conversations about basketball, a month away from actual basketball being played. And this marathon couple of years that has been going since the bubble really just continues, and we're going to roll right into it and it'll be fun and that'll be awesome. So the only basketball stuff that's really happening right now is the Ben Simmons stuff, which for anybody who doesn't listen to the, I'm sure this was reported somewhere else. I heard it on the Brian Windhorst podcast. If it's somewhere else and you know about it, Jeremy, this meeting that took place between Simmons and Rich Paul, and I guess the Sixers owner was there. Did someone else report that first? Or I heard it on the Windy Pod, but in any case, there was a meeting between all those forces when Ben Simmons, I guess, has officially requested a trade and has said he's not going to show up to camp. He's just not going to come. Going to go do whatever it is Ben Simmons does. And I just like, I'm fascinated by this story. This is actually a story that I want to, like, I'm looking for content about this because I'm a little bit older than you. I can't remember anything quite like this where you have, so if I get all this straight, like ostensibly a young star, right? Is he still a star? Is Ben Simmons a star? I don't even know.
I think he's a regular season star.
100%. I mean, he made an all NBA team.
He did. That's the funny thing. That I see all of this, it's like there's so much slander that goes on. And the reality is that it's like he's still a very good player. He just doesn't fit a lot of what teams want. And that's okay if you have the team built around, you know, his strengths or compensating for his weaknesses. And that's fine. Yes. But like, I don't know, something about where it's like, I saw some account tweet about a bunch of Sixers players in the past that kind of were the next players.
It's like ball is something or other. Yeah,
and you know, it's associating Ben Simmons with them. It's like
as a bust.
Simmons is high, is higher than all of those other players combined. Or like actually, you could even say his low to a greater extent is combined for all those players. It's just we've gotten to a point where. It's like, is he almost underrated now? I feel like I say that about almost every player when the slander gets so big that it's like, could they actually be better than we're saying they are? And, you know, he's not going to be the answer for a lot of teams, but there are some teams where he just works and that's fine and he'll do well there.
And there are teams that want him. So that's the other component of, so there's the Ben Simmons component of it. There are teams that want him because they recognize like, look, the guy's super talented for whatever his faults may be. And then there's the Daryl Morey component of this who, like, I have to think that there are pretty decent trades out there. And Morey is just, he's refusing to relent for anything less than what the package is. I don't know. And, you know, for anybody listening, like, what does this have to do with the Knicks? I kind of actually think it does have a lot to do with the Knicks because if I'm reading the situation correctly, Morey is basically waiting for one of the teams that has one of the players that the Knicks are certainly going to try to obtain by hook or by crook in the next year. He's waiting for one of those teams to be like, all right, we'll trade you. You know, the names, it's Dame or Beal or maybe Zach LaVine. I don't know. You know, we'll trade you one of these guys for Ben Simmons. That's not happening, right?
It's not, at least it doesn't seem to be the case.
Like how would that happen?
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure that there, let's backtrack, right? The Sixers created this mess. You know, I mean, obviously Ben Simmons was responsible.
I think Ben Simmons had a little to do with it.
Of course, no. But in the sense of the chaos, like, you know, I hate to blame fans for the reasons, but like fans are throwing trash. They're consistently throwing him under the bus. This past week, there was a newscaster in Philly that was talking about Hurricane Ida and a flood. And it was like, oh, look, we've got Ben Simmons passing by and it's a trash can wading through floodwaters. Like that it's crazy. But
is that a real thing?
No, it really happened. It really did. But they're not the reason for why.
That's awful.
Sixers, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, we saw Doc after Game 7, what he was saying. Danny Green has gone on podcasts talking about life without Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. It's not like it's just awkward all around. And I actually applaud in some hilarious way, Ben Simmons for being like, I'm just not going to be back because I'm being set up for failure here. The fans already hate me. The management has already told me they don't want me. And you know, the minutes with Joel Embiid, I think it was Tom Haberstroh who broke this down where it's like, Embiid and Simmons had the best two-man lineup score or rating throughout the NBA playoffs. But if you break it down, their worst time was in the fourth quarter. And everything else, the first, second, and third quarters were really good. And it's just like they played the Wizards, who are not a good team. They played the Hawks, who had a tremendous run.
Yeah. But
the fourth quarter was when things really went downhill. And that whole missed dunk opportunity was just a microcosm for everything. And it was the straw that broke the camel's back. So, but in terms of how it's viewed with the Knicks, I mean, Ben Simmons was supposed to be the ticket to help elevate the Sixers to that next star. And they're kind of getting screwed over because Dame's not going anywhere, at least not right now.
Not yet. He's not.
And if it has to be immediate, then like, and the Dame thing is not immediate, then you have an issue. How do you bide your time in terms of getting to that point?
But so is he, I appreciate what you said about, he's just like, fuck this, I'm not coming. But is he helping himself? Because if he wants to be gone, right? Okay. I literally can't wrap my head around if this is helping that effort or if this is actually hurting that effort. And that may sound silly because like, if he says he's not going to show up, like theoretically that will push Maury's, you know, hand. But at the same time, like, I don't know, is his, what is going to happen to his trade value? If he's sitting out of, if he's not there at all, like, is that more of a distraction than if he's, I literally, like, this situation is so strange to me. And I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's a huge thing with player empowerment, right? Because we talk about how players just treat contracts like they're pieces of paper and they can do whatever they want.
And he has 4 years left on his, by the way.
And that's the thing. We're in such uncharted territory where when we talk about mock trades or potential candidates, like the reason why the two of us and others, of course, too, focus on players who have 2 years on their contract or fewer, you know, including a player option, right? Where they can opt out, like James Harden. He had 2 years and a player option, but really that's effectively 2 years.
It's 2 years. Yeah.
Like that's pretty much where the cutoff has been historically because those extra year, 2 years, it's like, we have time. We can work this out. But Ben Simmons having 4 years left and wanted to be traded is something I don't think we've really seen before. And I don't think it hurts his value because if anything, it puts more pressure on the Sixers, right? There's a finite window of time and it's with Joel Embiid and we don't know how long he's going to be as dominant because he's had several lower leg injuries.
Finished second in MVP. I mean, he's
phenomenal, right? But a big reason why he wasn't MVP was probably also, I mean, Jokic is incredible, but availability is the best ability.
Yeah.
So, or the best ability is availability. So for him, it's like, okay, how are we going to build a contender around Joel Embiid, who's just agreed to a massive contract extension? We can't afford to, like, you know, not have Ben Simmons there or have someone else in that, fill that void. They have to get it done. It's just dragging it out also looks worse. Like, look at the Harden situation. It seemed like, okay, Harden wants to leave. Well, he's under contract. Whatever.
Yeah.
And the effort just wasn't there. And it was kind of felt like it's a sabotage in some way by Harden. This is ugly.
But that's worse than what Simmons is saying he's going to do. Because Harden was actively making his team. Right. Like, and it was a disaster. And the press conference. And if Simmons is just, if he's not there, I guess I don't know what that does to the situation.
Yes. It's like if Simmons isn't playing, is that better than Simmons playing but not showing the level of effort? And then
not only not playing but like not even reporting, so that he's not in the post game. Like, it's those post game press conferences that drive the owners crazy. Like, I'm sure Tillman Fertitta was not thrilled about when Harden, whatever the fuck he said, you know, after that game that was his last game as a Rocket. Can I throw something crazy at you maybe it's not crazy? If you believe the reporting, the teams that want him are teams like, Cleveland has been mentioned. Sacramento has been mentioned. Those are, along with, sadly, the Knicks up until last year. Like, if you go back over the last 20 years, take away the LeBron years in Cleveland, those are those are the worst organizations in basketball? Minnesota? Minnesota's the other team that wants Ben. Yep. So basically three of the five worst organizations in the sport going back over, it's like under their current ownership, right?
I want to the Hornets / Bobcats also. Sure, you could, regardless.
You could throw them in there.
Sure. I'm not that they want them, but that tier of like crap teams of the last 20 years.
If you can get multiple unprotected first round picks from any of these teams and get, I don't even care what, like, get a Buddy Hield, get a Colin Sexton. Andrew just broke out in a cold sweat. I'm trying to think who they would get. Even like Minnesota, like the poo-poo platter of like Beasley and like, you know, whatever, salary filler or something. But like, get those picks and then wait. If I was Philly, like, wait for the situation in whether it's Portland or Washington or maybe somewhere else to deteriorate. And then it's like, hey, here's this shit team's first round picks. And like, yeah, maybe Ben Simmons is going to make that team better a little bit, but like, I don't know. I don't foresee if you put Ben Simmons on like Minnesota or Portland, or sorry, not Portland, or Cleveland or Sacramento, like, you know, they're better, right? But are we sure that that's not going to be just as like a disaster? Like, that's what I would do. And I'm wondering if that's where this is headed, but I don't know. That would be my best guess.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Philly is now they're probably going to transition to how can we get more picks than, you know, solid assets, right? Because yeah. I mean, the Kings aren't trading Deer and Fox.
Who knows? I would assume they're not.
I don't see it because of the fact that they probably feel like, hey, this is our best player.
Yeah.
Trading away our best player for Ben Simmons.
It doesn't really make an upgrade.
Yeah. But in the sense of like, it's crazy how they might hang on to Halliburton and not trade him in a package for Ben Simmons, because I mean, Ben Simmons, look at what he's done. Maybe Halliburton gets that. I think he's a good player, but again, like, we're talking about a former All-Star who's still 25 years old, 4 years left of team control. He wants to be in California. Like, that makes sense. The Wolves, like, you know, as you're saying, Beasley, maybe Prince as well for the salary and then picks. But the point is, there's not like a great option if you're Philly, because then you're basically doing what the Knicks are doing, which is like, we have a bunch of picks, we have some talented young players, and we'll strike when we can. But the thing is, I mean, I still think the Knicks can, whatever the hypothetical package is that Philly would receive, the Knicks could probably beat that in a trade for a bigger superstar. The question, of course, is, does it deplete the Knicks to the point where it's then not worth doing?
That's like, yes.
I'm not suggesting, and I'm not saying let's get into this conversation, but you know, we've talked about RJ Barrett and his involvement.
Yes.
It's like, if the Sixers get this massive haul all of a sudden for Ben Simmons, and by haul, I mean, you know, multiple first round picks and like, what, McDaniels?
Yeah, I was about to say, if Minnesota, if they could get like a young, like, I don't know, would Sacramento put the, what's his face, Davion Mitchell on the table? Like, I have no idea. Like, oh no, maybe they would put Halliburton on the table. We really have no idea, but like, whatever it is, it's a competitive offer. But you're right, I think the Knicks could still probably put together, you know, the best package.
Right. And a lot of it can change. I mean, that's why we first have to see what that offer is, or what the deal is that Philly gets, and then we can evaluate from there. But, you know, again, if you're Philadelphia right now, I mean, if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm pretty pissed off at Morey, because this could have just been solved if he hadn't tried to sell so high that it just obliterated the asking price. And then it got to a point where it's now we're talking about, okay, either Ben Simmons doesn't show up, or we trade him and get away from this. Like, it just could have been much easier, and now it's not, and it's messy, and it's awkward, and that's a problem for them.
I guess I wouldn't be too bummed if I was a Sixers fan, only because I think, and this is where I think I'm in the minority amongst at least some Knicks fans I've seen in terms of like making predictions about next year's standings. Like, to me, if you just remove Ben Simmons off the Sixers roster, like, there is no Ben Simmons. Like, I still think that team is a top six seed, presuming Joel Embiid stays healthy, which, again, he's going to miss games. But like, I don't know. I have a pretty large amount of respect for like regular season Doc as a coach. You know, Tobias Harris is still good. Like, they have, you know, Maxie's probably going to take a step forward. Like, I still would put that team. And like, if I was the Sixers, as long as I got into that top six and I didn't have to play one of Milwaukee and Brooklyn in the first round, like, I don't know. I just signed Joel Embiid to a supermax. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be here for, you know, at least a few years before he maybe requests a trade. Like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be too worried, but I do think the situation is fascinating. Gun to your head, do you think Simmons gets moves before, I guess, game one of the regular season?
Yeah, I do.
You do. Okay.
I think it's too awkward. But another thought that kind of occurred to me is, even with the Dame situation, right? And we know that Dame doesn't have a no trade clause. Blazers could trade him wherever they want. But I would still imagine that Dame has some leverage in terms of going to this place or not. Let's say somehow it materialized where Dame to Philadelphia would be a possibility, and Portland goes to Damian Lillard, who just got married. Congratulations to him.
Congrats, Dame.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It happened yesterday.
I did not know.
It was very cool, but
wonderful.
They say to him, like, you know, Philadelphia is an option. And I'm just thinking about how Portland, how much he loves the city and the fans, and Philadelphia, where the city and the fans have a habit of tearing down players and reducing them to shreds.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're Dame and your whole thing is loyalty and wanting to deliver to fans, and then you go to another location that's known for just being so vicious. And look, I mean, we as New Yorkers, we're not exactly the kindest either, right? We have a mean streak to us too, but it's like, it feels like if you're an NBA player, what is your desire? If you have any kind of say, why you'd go to Philadelphia when you have an incredible player in Joel Embiid, but you could be worried about his health, where it seems like a lot of the blame is going to rest on your shoulders. Like for Dame right now, it's like the supporting cast. It's the players around him. I'm sure that there are some things that Dame could have done better that he, you know, could be criticized for. And yet, because of the fact that the team around him is not as good, or injuries or whatever, he kind of gets away scot-free to an extent.
That doesn't
happen in Philly.
You know, Portland and Philly are not the same place. And I guess the other thing that happened over basketball wise, an actual basketball thing that happened, was the Markkanen trade that brought Nance Jr. to Portland. I just think that's significant, and it basically signals like Portland's going to roll at least until the trade deadline with this team. Like Neil O'Shea is going to give this thing a run, and we'll see what happens.
They did another really dumb thing. And so I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you. No, what?
They once again, for the second year in a row, traded their first round pick, but lottery protected it every single year until
eternity.
They can't trade the picks unless they get to remove the protection. It's like this is their team that they have to.
Maybe you should replace Neil O'Shea after he inevitably gets fired. I think you should be the GM of the Portland Trailblazers. Loyal fan base.
I'll take it. I'll humbly accept Andrew's the job.
Hold on, Andrew. Does Portland not have a loyal fan base?
No, they can't have Jeremy. Stop it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Jeremy showed off the last like 2 months between cap or no cap and filling in for you. Like, we now need to bring his market value down. So stay here with us, John.
So you need to Ben Simmons me is what
I'm hearing. Yes, exactly.
But okay.
How funny would it be if Jeremy was like, I'm not showing up for the first part of the season.
Oh, no.
Don't sick Rich Paul on me, Jeremy, please. Okay. I think that's anything else on the Ben Simmons thing or anything. I feel like that's.
I got one. All right. One thing that I was just thinking about. So, because I mean, we've talked about building this team and what the final stage is and kind of getting to that point of contender, because why else? That's why you watch basketball. And we've seen so many of these Lakers and Nets signings recently where just like these super teams are kind of building. And
please don't use super team.
Well, with the Lakers. I think it's fair. It is a super team. If you want to call it that, which I do, I will. Listen,
they have two superb players.
Sure. And then they have a very good player still in Russell Westbrook. The fit is a huge question, but you can look at it however you want. I mean, he's an upgrade over what they had. The point is, if we're looking at the two teams that consensus, quote unquote, feels are going to be in the finals.
They're the favorites.
They're the favorites, sure. How many, on both teams, how many players were drafted by each respective team that will see minutes? Like the top 10 rotation. How many of them?
Off the top of my head... Brooklyn, I guess I'm not counting Nick Claxton, so that would be...
Why aren't you counting Nick Claxton?
Because they have a million bigs now. They just signed Millsap and Griffin and
Aldridge. You know, but also, I mean, Claxton could still be...
Okay, fine. You want me to count Claxton?
Yeah, well, I'm saying you could still be in the second unit, right? But you don't have to count if you want, because Jeff Green's gone, so I figure, what? Isn't Blake going to fill in?
LMA? And the Lakers have nobody.
Horton Tucker.
Excuse me. Sorry. Excuse me, Laker fans. I know they're very protective of Taylor.
But this is exactly my point, right?
Yes.
We're talking about these two teams where the only players that they've drafted who could see minutes are second round picks, and it's one on each team. And I guess it's the thought process of when the time comes.
That, though.
Look, I get it, because you want that emotional feeling. Sure, it sucks, but again, this is my point.
I mean, I'm sure it won't suck when one of them is holding a trophy in whatever it is, 8 months from now. But like, I don't need to get into you. You know,
I just it's a passing thought that I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's an accurate thought.
We can focus on the draft and want an organic build, and that's fine. That's a way to do it, and you can still do it that way.
Yeah. But
these teams
can you still do it that way?
Themselves out. Yeah, you could still do it that way.
I mean, Milwaukee just did.
Yeah, and Phoenix, they're runners up. I mean, how many of those guys were homegrown? So it's it's impossible. It's just a thought that I had. Like, I'll mention on the pod because again, you should have a good balance of the two or three trade, draft, free agency, and the Knicks have that, right? I mean, that's they have a good assortment, and it's just a question of where they go from here. And something to keep in mind where it's head and heart, and you have to make sacrifices that we emotionally don't love, but we know we're the right moves in the end. So as I was seeing this like arms race, like the US and the Soviet Union in the 1950s and 60s during a Cold War, I just kind of came to me and thought like,
it's just
cost doing business.
Look, it goes without saying, I'm never going to like dislike the notion of a championship team, like a Knicks championship team is like, and the concept of like that happening and then me like being like, oh, I wish it was this way instead is stupid. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And it's a point that's well taken. But look, Milwaukee drafted Giannis. They did not draft Chris Middleton. They did not draft Jrue Holiday. They didn't draft Brooke Lopez, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis. So like, it's not like they were all homegrown either, but like to get Chris Middleton as like kind of a steal in a trade where he was an afterthought and then watch him grow into a guy who's like the most important player in the last 5 minutes of a finals game. Like that's different than, you know, go getting Russell Westbrook or whatever the hell.
Of course they're all different.
Yeah.
They're all,
no, I know,
you know, but it's just, again, their teams cut from different cloths and
I'm looking forward to this team.
We got some time before that.
I know.
Top of mind. Not much going on, so.
I appreciate it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One other thing you did miss is we introduced a new game last Sunday called
I Know the Knicks.
How would you have done on the 40% from three?
It's funny because I almost got embarrassed. I got invited on the Athletics NBA show at the end of last week, and they did a trivia game at the end, and it was to name all the guys who had shot above 40% from three from this Knicks team. And I got the question wrong because they were like minimum of 48 attempts. And I knew Frank was over 40, but I'm like, there's no way he had over 40. He had 40 and he had 48 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would have done okay, but we'll see. We'll see today, won't we? I guess. Right.
Well, for those who I'm going to assume you guys, because it's a podcast and it's not radio, you listened last week and are here now for this week's episode. The rules of the game are simple. It's a list of things in Knicks history, and John and Jeremy will go back and forth naming as many things off the list that they can. If one person gets one wrong, then they are out, and the opponent has the chance to name as many as they can to accrue as many points as possible. There are three categories: 2021, post-decision, so since July 9th, 2010, and post me, so post Claudio, since August 3rd, 1988. I'm not going to ask you to know something that happened before I was born. I'm working, Jeremy, on a post Macri one, so this way I can cover all of Knicks history into a category.
That's uncalled for. John, continue, please.
You get to choose.
Do they even have trivia in the 1940s?
I think the word trivia was actually created at the 1940s, not the 1840s.
Right. Yes.
It's funny. I actually looked up Walt Bellamy's stats earlier today for something I'm writing in the newsletter. But we don't have to go into that.
Wait, you guys knew each other though, right?
Good friends. Yeah. From the neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I go first, so I'm gonna choose the old man one.
You choose the oldest one, post Claudio. So
John's gonna wipe the floor with me. I'm very excited
on this. Well,
my head is I'm not in my usual headspace, so I think you got a good chance.
I will say, of the categories today, this might be the easiest. We'll see. 12 Knicks. You guys have to go back and forth and name as many as you can. The 12 Knicks that have made an all-star team or played in an all-star game. So been selected to the team. So there's
since when?
Since 1988.
Since 1988.
Okay. So the 1989 all-star game on, there's been 12 Knicks that have been selected to or played in an NBA all-star team.
So I go first?
Yes.
Okay. Patrick Ewing.
That's one. Jeremy.
Jeremy goes, right?
Yes.
Spree.
Jeremy said Spreewell?
Yes. Okay. I think, right?
I did not, but.
Oh, well.
Oh, I literally
said Julius Randle.
Oh, okay. So then John said Spree. There you go. Okay.
So you said named to an all-star team, right?
Yeah. Named to an all-star team.
Not named and played to an all-star team?
No, so that's either or, which is why you're about to say.
Porzingis.
There you go.
Okay. Allen Houston.
Correct.
This gets harder. It shouldn't, but it does. Carmelo Anthony. I mean, actually,
thank you.
I think that might be all easy ones.
Made six of them.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Oakley.
It's 3-3. Correct. 4-3.
This is not. God. I feel like. Again, this is where my youth is going to be a factor, even though people younger than me probably would get this. Didn't Starks make one of them?
1994.
Is that your answer? There you go. I got this, John. Don't worry.
I am. It's funny. I'm blanking on a couple of the obvious ones. So I'll go to the one I think that Jeremy's going to forget, which is David Lee.
Correct. 5-4. Jeremy.
There's three more. Since 1989?
Yeah. So the 1989 All-Star game to now.
Okay.
That's going to be tough because that like kind of takes out all of the, right? Aren't we basically done with the 2000s?
No,
we're not.
There's
okay.
Two more in the 2000s.
Two more in the 2000s.
Two said, more in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
You said Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what person wasn't Wasn't Jamal Crawford.
Nope. Is that your question? You're saying it's not Jamal Crawford.
It's a statement. Okay. It's not a
statement final. And a fact. There you go.
Could it?
In fact, the person that you're not thinking of, one of the people you're not thinking of.
Don't give me a hint.
Okay, never mind. No words are being said by me. Hi, John. It's good to have you back.
God, I don't think Starbury made it, but.
You going to say Stephon Marbury?
I know, because I feel like because of how disappointing it all was.
Okay, I need an answer.
All right, I'll say Stephon Marbury.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I thought it was, but.
Yeah. Okay.
So now I have to name someone?
You name one.
There's three more, right?
There's three more. Can you name all three? Right now you're winning five.
So I think Tyson Chandler made it.
That's the hard one. I was shocked. Tyson Chandler, his only career All-Star game in 2013, he made it.
So there's one Anthony Mason made one. No, not for the Knicks. Shit. No, never mind. It wasn't
that
for the
is,
Knicks.
That is an answer was given.
No. I took it back.
Oh, okay.
Didn't I already win the game?
I already won.
You won the round.
Yeah, I won the round. I want to try to get the last two.
You're out, but you can name the last two.
I'm missing someone from either the early 90s or the late 90s.
There's two. There's one from. I can give you guys hints now. There's one from 89 that you're missing. Oh, and then there's one so from
fucking easy.
There's one from the 2010s you're missing also.
It's not Mark Jackson.
It's Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson made the
1989
All-Star team.
I honestly didn't. I
was shocked too. 1989 All-Star team.
And then one from the 2000s?
Amari Stoudemire.
Oh my God. So that's the obvious one. My Lord. Right. I said earlier that I'm missing an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I win that round. Great.
Yes, you win. You right now have 6 points, Mr. Macri. Jeremy, of the two remaining categories, who would you like to go to?
Let's go last season.
Last season. All right. The Knicks obviously won 41 games and were the 4 seed. They defeated 14 different teams twice.
Oh, Jeremy, wow.
You get to go first. These are the 14 teams that the Knicks defeated twice last year.
Can I ask a... So this on our system, can I pull up like the NBA, a list of the NBA teams?
No. Fuck.
Right. Then you could just go by and try to remember it.
All right. So I'm not going to do that. All right.
Top of the head.
All right. So Jeremy, go first.
Celtics.
Correct.
That was literally the first one that came to my mind too.
Look at the camera. Look at the camera. I don't trust your eyes.
I'm looking at my notebook because I'm writing stuff down.
That doesn't count.
We're
on even ground here.
Okay, fuck off. The Lakers.
No, you fuck off. Fuck off to your nook. Go back. You know, go move again.
You get one NBA legendary franchise. I'll take the other. The Lakers.
John's out. The Knicks beat the Lakers once last year.
Are you serious?
Yes, they lost the overtime game.
Oh my God, they did lose that game. Oh my God, I was
so. Can I just
Jeremy, your turn to clean up?
Can
if
I just
you want.
Take laps here?
If you have as many as you want.
So Jeremy wins the round. Can we continue going back and forth? Though?
No, he's no, not no, out because no. He gets to name as many as he wants until he gets out.
I can up the score as much as I want.
Go ahead, right? Jeremy.
Oh, I didn't realize that's how the rules work.
I said at the beginning, as soon as your opponent is
so
out,
now I've lost.
Yes. So, yeah. Jeremy, how many? You have 13 other teams if you'd like.
Let's do it, baby.
John's right. So bad right now.
Go ahead, I really Jeremy. Am mad because I didn't even think about it that hard because I was like, they beat the Lakers twice.
Nope. Go ahead, Jeremy. Who else did they beat twice last year?
Well, they beat the Bucks twice.
They beat the Bucks twice. Yes. One with Giannis, one without Giannis.
Yep. That's correct.
Obvious.
We're now tied 6-6.
This is really how this is going to work?
Yes. I think you were going to get the first question wrong, John.
I didn't think it through.
It's okay. Consequences. It's all right. Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm going to go west. I'm going to go to the south west now, right? So let's go. They beat the Grizzlies twice.
They
beat the Pelicans twice.
They beat the Pelicans twice.
They did.
Cool. Beat the Rockets twice.
They beat the Rockets twice.
Yep.
Cleaning up, Mr. Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get all of them.
I'm going to try. Let's see. They beat the Mavs once, so that's not it. Not sure about the Spurs, so let's keep it going. We know that they only beat the Lakers once.
they got killed by the Spurs. It was right, either right before or right after the All-Star break.
I appreciate you helping me. You're right. That's the game Frank started. So
there's an East playoff team that's very obvious.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll get there. Don't worry. I got some time. I got all day. Again, so in the Pacific, yeah, not the Clippers, Lakers, or the Suns. You know, if we're going by process elimination, well, no, not gonna. I'm gonna get the safe ones first. Oh, goodness.
You're rubbing it in.
Yeah. Your daughter feels bad for you, apparently.
It does.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, go on. I need an answer.
Beat the Magic twice.
Yes.
Man, I want to say beat the Hawks twice.
Beat the Hawks three times, actually.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, that's right. Ooh.
It's another. I'm not. No hints. Never no mind. Hints.
That's fine. Oh God. All right. I might lose it on this one. I think they beat the Bulls twice.
They beat the Bulls twice.
Phew. Okay. Good. Good. How many teams am I up to?
You've named. There's six left. So you've named eight.
Six left. Okay. Beat the. Oh no.
I'm writing down the other six as we speak.
As it counts, you, Jeremy, get some right.
It's so annoying.
There's another round. Don't worry, John.
Yeah. Did I say the Magic?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
I did. All right,
you should okay. Can you be eliminated for not remembering? That's like drafting somebody, trying to draft somebody that was already taken in your fantasy draft.
I'm sorry. Is the person who named zero of the teams speaking or? Oh, that they are? Weird. Hmm.
They should have never lost that fucking overtime game against the Lakers. John, I should not be how
are you,
so
that, how are that you hating game? From outside the club when you can't,
get... Oh, my God. Ooh,
yikes.
I don't even know what that reference is.
That's a Chris Brown. There you go. Back. I think he had just been what we now call canceled at the time, but that beat was sick. So anyway, Jeremy, six more teams.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Northwest Conference, they're not two wins for any of them. We can wipe that away.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific... Kings. They beat the Kings twice.
No.
Then I'm out. Okay.
One Pistons, Cavs, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, and the sixth one is the
16. That's the Raptors one threw me off because that was the worst game that they had from three-point shooting ever, any team. So that's why I thought like they were only one. But all right, you know what? I got some good lumps in there.
It's a West. I'm missing a West team, right?
Nope. You say this?
I said Pistons, Cavs, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards.
You're missing an East team.
I'm missing an East team?
Mm-hmm. What
the fuck is the other team in the East?
And actually surprising with the Knicks' history with this team.
Oh, Pacers.
They beat the Indiana Pacers twice last year. So Jeremy got 8 points that round. It is 12-6. The remaining category, post-decision. So since, I'm going to look up the date for next week, but I think it's July 9th of 2010. Since then, 18 Knicks have recorded a double-double using going by points and assists.
Wow.
So not rebounds. It's at least 10 points, at least 10 assists, and that's how they got their double-double. Now, they may have gotten a triple-double, but at 18 Knicks over the last decade and change had a double-double with points and assists. John, you go first.
Over the last decade?
Yeah, so since the decision, so since the beginning of the 2010-2011 season.
Okay. This is actually difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go with the obvious one first, but so let's start it off with the
wait. How is John going first on this one?
I've gone back and forth each time.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, that went John. Then I did. No, you did. You went first, then he got the Lakers wrong. Yeah,
you're right, John. What was yours?
Julius Randle.
Correct. Did it 8 times, Jeremy.
Well, Elfrid Payton got a triple double.
He's done it 6 times in his Knicks career.
Yep.
Correct.
Since the decision, Ray Felton.
Damn it.
Ray Felton did it 29 times, the most on this list.
That was going to be mine.
Now it gets difficult.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Although, okay, when you really think about it, there are a few obvious ones.
Oh man, I got all right. Crap, I could honestly blow it on this one. Well, I feel like Melo had to have had a triple double at least once, so I'm gonna go with Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, you did it twice.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure about him.
Some of us were, though.
That's great. So there's a bunch of names that I am thinking of saying. Wait, since the decision?
Since the decision. So this decade.
Jeremy Lin.
I was waiting for someone to say Linsanity. Yes, it's seven times.
It's appropriate that I say Jeremy Lin.
I was about to say, all in a 17-day stretch, Jeremy Lin did it. And then it ended.
Such a shame. But at least Melo had those, what did he have, two?
Yeah, six other All-Star teams.
Really nice that Melo found the time to get 10 assists twice.
You know, it's a shame his teammates decided for two games to actually make it when they passed it to him, you know?
Jeremy.
Frank Ntilikina.
Yes, Frank Ntilikina did it
at Brooklyn
twice and Washington game right before the pandemic. Yeah. Yep.
I actually looked up this stat when did Dennis Smith Jr. sign with Portland? Although I looked up the assists. I'm fairly certain he must have had double digit points in the game. Dennis Smith Jr.
Did it once in the game you're talking about.
13 assists. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's 4-3, John, this round.
And they're 18 in total.
18 total.
Oh God, means there are 11 left.
This is that math, yeah.
Yeah, that's how math works.
Oh man! Again, 18 Knicks to record a double double by points and assists.
I feel like there's going to be like a random. Well, I mean, there's several random ones, obviously. But all right, I'm just going to go all in, and maybe I'm wrong on this one. Jarrett Jack.
Jared Jack did it three times.
I would not have. I forgot about Jared Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Very honest.
John.
Again, I don't. It's very possible. You know what? No, because I'm going to go with the one that I am pretty sure about. And this, I could be wrong because I could just be imagining this. Did Alonzo Trier do it once?
He did not. All right, Jeremy, can you name another?
I feel like, much to our chagrin, Emmanuel Mudiay did it once.
Emmanuel Mudiay did it twice.
Wow. Yes. Well done.
Yes.
Okay. After that, it's just like...
Yeah, now you're slim pickings. This now is the, really the history of Knicks point guards. The fact that it's Raymond Felton for 29, and then Jeremy Lin did it seven, and then everybody else is two or three or four times.
Oh, wait. Wow. I got one. I got another one. Yeah. At least I think I do. Trey Burke.
Trey Burke is the four-timer. Yes.
Wow. I wouldn't have remembered Burke either. It's not a name I just wrote down.
Yes.
I have some other ones, though.
Don't tell me that Jose Calderon was also one.
Calderon did it twice.
I have Calderon down here. So Calderon was the name I was going to say other than Trier. But I was convinced. I'm actually going to look up now what Trier's high assist game was as you're continuing to talk.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to run out of point. There are a lot that I have blanked. Oh, wait. Oh God, was Hezonja actually one of them?
Mario Hezonja had a that's 16, a good one. It was, I think, 16, 15, and 11 that he did one game.
That's really good.
Yes, that's a great call.
Yep. All right, I'm just gonna bow out because I'm not gonna remember.
You sure? There's a current Nick on this list.
There's really a current.
Can I take some more guesses?
No.
You're
out.
Jeremy, I already gave you a hint.
Go ahead. So yes, John, you can take
son
it.
Of a.
Go ahead, John.
Trier topped out at fucking eight. So the three names I have written down are Kidd, Rose, and Quickly.
Emmanuel Quickly never did it. Derrick Rose has done it twice. And the funny part about Derrick Rose is he did it once in 2021 and once in 2016. Yeah.
Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd did not.
Wow. Ooh. Okay, so I was wrong on two of the three guesses that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Porzingis never got 10 assists.
No. Barely got 10 rebounds.
That's very true.
When you're a small forward, you know, you're not asked to
read. I have to think Timmy did it once.
Tim Hardaway Jr.? No.
Yeah. No, never got 10 assists in a game.
Nope.
That's mildly surprising.
There are five left. One guy was here for a cup of coffee and then left. And his part was, this is giving it away, but was part of a trade that we disagree on, John.
Oh, Billups.
Chauncey Billups did it once. Is now the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. There are three left.
Four left.
Did Pablo get to double?
That's another. I thought about it. He's no.
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 Okay. So one guy was brought here to be the point guard of the team and then got hurt. And because he was hurt, when one Jeremy Lin showed up and was able to play, and I think I've given enough of a hint.
I mean, the starting point guard the first game of that season, I believe, was either Tony Douglas or Armand Shumpert.
So Tony Douglas is on the list. He did it twice.
Interesting.
But Baron
Baron Davis. There you go.
Baron Davis came to the Knicks.
Did Mike Bibby do it?
Mike Bibby did not.
Okay.
There's two.
Tony Douglas did this?
Tony Douglas did it twice.
That's amazing. So now we're missing two names, right?
Yes. One guy that did it three times, one guy I didn't realize played for the Knicks.
Did JR manage to get
that one,
maybe rebounds for the other teams off of his missed shots count. Uh-huh. Okay, so
you said somebody did it three times on this list?
Yes. During the 2016-17 season.
I was just looking at stats from that season the other day too. Galloway.
No.
Langston Galloway never did it?
No. This guy has a 50-point game in his career.
Brandon Jennings?
Brandon Jennings did it three times for the Knicks.
That's insane.
And then Beno Udre did it once, which I, again, did not know this guy played for the Knicks.
Would not. I remember he played for the Knicks. It was that had to be during 2015-16.
Probably. I wrote his name down and then moved on with my life. I apparently did the same thing when he was with the Knicks. So
wow.
Okay.
Well, okay. So Jeremy
wins this week.
Well done.
Well done, guys.
Thank you.
That was fun.
I'd like to thank the Academy. Really good... it's for you, Ma.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got the between Lakers and Trier. I don't know what I'm more mad about.
The Laker one, because I remember staying up for that game.
And I remember now that I'm thinking about it, I remember being absolutely distraught that they managed to blow that game, because I was like, this is a game they may not recover from. I remember feeling that feeling, but for some reason sitting here tonight, I was like, oh yeah, they beat the Lakers.
It was that lack of a box out by Rose. Mm-hmm. and then that's where we talked to her. It was like, it felt like everything kind of
it was good.
Spiraled out from there. So fun times.
Yeah. Great. This was great, guys. Man, I thought I'd be rusty, and I probably was rusty, but it's good to be back.
Good to have you back.
So we got some fun stuff coming up over the next few weeks, both on here and the Patreon pod, I should say. But I don't have anything else. Anything from either of you guys before we get out of here?
Awesome.
Jeremy, you first.
No, I'll just say welcome back. Really happy to have you here. Excited for what's in store. And we'll fill some time before the season starts, and it'll be good.
I do want to ask Andrew, am I allowed to plug a different podcast on this?
Oh, yes. I know where you're going with this. Yes, you may.
Can I plug it on my behalf as well?
Yes. Please. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
So listen, if you're listening to this, I swear I would not, because like both of you guys have like gone on, like done the guest spots on other podcasts that like I quite frankly may not have listened to. Final Review, which is Andrew Claudio's new podcast with my other good friend, Bernardo Zaraski, is phenomenal. And I could say that because I listened to the first episode, not once, but twice, because I listened to it at like 7 a.m. the day it came out. And then my wife wanted to listen to it. So I listened to it again. Might have been better the second time. You guys did the Social Network and you gave it a final review and you ranked it on 10 different criteria. And it's just like, it's if you like movies and you want to listen to a podcast about movies, this is about as good as you could do. And it's funny because I love movies and I struggle to find movie podcasts that I love, which is why, as Andrew knows, I'm a very big fan of The Big Picture, because they do a good job of doing a movie podcast. This is every bit as good. So, and I swear I'm not just saying that because you guys are my friends, but if you like movies, go check out Final Review. Okay.
Yes. Remember The Social Network, drop the.
It's just Final Review.
There you go. Thank you for the plug. We have a brand new episode coming out this Thursday. The movie we are doing will be announced tomorrow on our social media, over on Twitter.
I know the three candidates, but I don't know which episode this is.
So at the end of, I mean, I could say this part because I said it in the pilot, the rules and regulations episode. We play the score, the main score of the next week's episode at the very end of the pod you're listening to.
And oh, so then I know what it is.
Yeah. So yeah, we will announce, if you haven't heard it yet, we will announce what the next episode is tomorrow on social media. To John's point, yes, we are reviewing a different movie every week and trying to quantify its greatness, but the entire gimmick, I think, is more of a way to introduce other movies that these great people have been in. So like, we had somebody reach out and say like, oh, do I need to watch all these movies? Like, well, if you want to, here's our Letterboxd, and these are all the movies that were mentioned while
I definitely watched less than half of the movies that were referenced, and not once. Although I did make it a point to Google, the fuck was in it? Oh, live podcasting, folks. Never Let Me Go, which I am going to make it a point to watch because based on your, I forget which, if it was you or Oz that described it, but that movie sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, we both had it on our list for Andrew Garfield. It's a fun concept, and I think it's a fun, obviously, I think it's a fun podcast. It's a project Oz and I have been working on over the last year. And to those that have already listened and given feedback, thank you. And, you know, tune in this week for another final review. And keep going with the Knicks Film School podcast, obviously. This is, we missed you while you were gone. It was fun to do a pod with Jeremy. It was fun to, you know, do pods with somebody else for a change. But now the family's back together and the universe is realigned correctly. Right. Yes.
We achieved balance in the universe and we didn't have to kill anybody.
No. Well, you haven't seen Chris lately, have you? That's kidding. I'm kidding. We love you, Chris.
That was fun. Jeremy, anything else from you?
All set, sir.
All right. This was great. Everybody out there, thanks for checking out another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. We will be back with you for more episodes and opportunities for me to redeem myself on the trivia game. Feel really pretty terrible about right now. Very soon. All right, see y'all later.